Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, and thank you so much for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. And before we get going here, I wanted to let you know that, as usual, I've got a bunch of links at the top of the transcript for this particular episode that I hope you'll avail yourself of. A lot of them have to do with COVID, and there are a few other things in there for good measure as well. So feel free to use those to continue your research, and hopefully they benefit you. Well, let's get into our topic. The topic is basically a question. Abide in Christ? I recall years ago reading books by Andrew Murray, who often emphasized the biblical concept of abiding in Christ, and I'm sure you've heard of that term. I've written briefly about Murray and others of his theological persuasion in an article about the Keswick movement. And by the way, there's a link to that in the transcript. And throughout this particular episode, I've got a number of links in the transcript that I mentioned, so you'll want to avail yourself of those as well. A difficult aspect of Andrew Murray was the way he would constantly emphasize the Christian's need to abide in Christ. But at the same time, he never really explained it in practical terms, as far as I can recall. This is a biblical concept from the Bible in words uttered by Jesus in John 15:7, where he says this, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Now, I just want to focus on the first part of that verse of John 15:7. I don't want to get into, "You'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." That'll probably be another episode. So let's just talk about abiding in Christ today and what it means. Now, obviously, our Lord was using a figure of speech here. We cannot actually be physically inside Jesus, and nor is he literally a vine or plant, as he refers to elsewhere. Like everything in Scripture, there is a context. This section of Scripture begins with verse 1 of John 15, and there Jesus reveals the truth that he is the vine, and it is from him that all nourishment comes to us. If we're in him and remain in him, then that's what's going to happen. But he's obviously not saying that I'm physically a vine. You'll likely recall that John 14 is where Jesus announces that he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him, the Son. John 14:6. Well, after stating that no one can go to the Father unless they go through the salvific work of Jesus in John 14, Jesus next emphasized the need to continue abiding in him. Now, if we abide in him, we will bear much fruit, John 15:5. You know, this whole conversation that Jesus is having is a perfect example of what I'm talking about when I say that I take the Bible literally. That's the way I interpret it in its most plain and ordinary sense. I never take the Bible literalistically. If I did, then Jesus would be a literal vine and I would be fruit. But I'm not. That's literalistic. I take the Bible literally, which simply means in its most plain and ordinary sense. So that's what that means, and I'm glad to have another opportunity to emphasize that. Now, conversely, those who fail to remain abiding in Christ will not only not bear fruit, but they will soon die, quote unquote, and become good for nothing. Might as well be tossed out or burned. Now, instead of abiding in Christ, they've chosen to ignore him, doing their own thing instead, living by and for self. There are generally three trains of thought here as to what this passage means. Some believe Jesus is saying that salvation can be lost if we're not careful to continue abiding. They argue that if we stop abiding in Jesus, we will experience separation from Jesus that can eventually lead to a loss of salvation. Others believe that there are those who truly will fall away, stop abiding, and those who do were not really saved in the first place. That's what they say. They see these individuals as merely ones who professed to have had salvation, but didn't really possess it at all. And the third group, of which I am one, see this abiding as something that is the constant choice of the authentic Christian. We either choose to abide using our free will to do what we should do. Do we make the right choices? The reference that Jesus uses about the branches that no longer abides and are good for nothing, but to be gathered and cast in the fire, is not a reference to hell, in my view. I believe Jesus is simply taking it to its logical conclusion that those who decide not to continue abiding will live lives that are essentially worthless. They produce no good works, neither do they glorify God in thought, word, or deed. And because of that, their lives are no better than the pruned branch that is gathered and burned. The Christian can, at any point, decide to once again abide in Christ, you know, like the prodigal son, who always remained his father's son in Luke 15, by the way. He was never disowned. He was never kicked out of the family. He left and then realized how stupid he was and then humbled himself and came back. It's a willful decision. I don't believe Jesus is teaching that salvation can be lost because that's not supported by the entirety of Scripture. Well, Andrew Murray tended to use the word abide or abiding in the definition he provided about abiding in Christ, simply repeating that we must abide in him. Well, that's all well and good, but what does it mean? I could never find a clear definition in Murray's writings, and that was cause for frustration for me. Murray would relegate abiding to the realm of our feelings and or our emotions, and this was given as the result of abiding in Christ because it would activate our emotional response to God and tends to cause people to use emotions as a guide. However, Murray never clearly told people how to abide in Christ. What did it mean? Well, over the years, I've come to understand that Jesus meant something specific by abiding in him, and it appears to be far removed from what Andrew Murray and other Christian mystics like him proposed. I'd like to hopefully and clearly explain what I mean by, or what I think the Bible means by abiding in Christ in the remainder of this episode. Abiding in Christ, put simply, means to be in fellowship with Jesus. If we borrow from Proverbs 14, 26, and 27 that we went over in a previous episode, the writer there in Proverbs describes abiding as living in the fear of the Lord. Now, if we live so that we are fearful of offending the Lord in all things, we will abide in fellowship and friendship with him. It is giving into sin that stops us from living in the fear of the Lord. Or maybe put a better way, it is when we stop living in the fear of offending the Lord that we wind up giving into sin. And when we do, that breaks our fellowship with him. When we break off fellowship with Jesus, we've not lost our salvation because salvation is permanent, John 10, 28 through 29. And salvation puts us in Christ, Romans 8, 1, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. However, when we sin, we stop actively abiding. We have broken fellowship. And this situation will last for as long as it takes us to admit that we've sinned, confess that sin, and be warmly received back into fellowship again by awaiting Jesus. Now, by way of example, let's look at human relationships. We all have them. We experience fellowship with other people as long as we are not on the outs with them, correct? If something happens that causes a fracture in the relationship, the result is often broken fellowship with them. We stop talking. We stop hanging out with them. And if that continues, the relationship could suffer permanently, at least in our human relationships. However, if we humble ourselves, move back toward the person we are estranged from, and try to work things out so that there's forgiveness, the relationship is restored, and we enter back into fellowship with that other person. We are once again abiding in relationship with that other person. And so it is with abiding in Christ. It's in fact the natural result of receiving salvation. That's where it begins. But to continue abiding in Christ, effort on our part must be made, just as effort is needed in our human relationships. You know, it's not difficult to get to know other human beings, is it? We quickly learn that if the other person, well, are they a right fit for us or not, for friendship, or even more importantly, for romance. Well, if not, we might let it go or walk away from them. However, the person you choose to spend your life with in a monogamous marriage is a person with whom you have obviously decided is well worth knowing, and for a lifetime. Because of this, you likely work on making that relationship work, don't you? You try to do the things you know they like. And how do you know what those things are? By talking, watching, listening, understanding them? You don't deliberately do the things they don't like, do you? I hope not. But what of our relationship with the Lord? How do we abide in Him? Seems always kind of one-sided, really. But it's the same way. We talk to Him. We learn through His Word. We understand then what He wants from us, all by reading, studying, memorizing His Word. There's no other way. Though to hear some tell it, they have these long, drawn-out conversations with Jesus, and allegedly He responds to them as one person would respond to another, audibly, in their head. Well, these people should be avoided completely. Jude 1:8 and 10-13. Human relationships tend to be somewhat easier than our relationship with the Lord. That's because we pray and we don't audibly hear anything back. And again, the people who say they do hear back should be avoided. So much of the time, we may feel as if we're just talking to the air. Does He really hear? How do I know or learn what the Lord's will is in each specific case? How can I be sure? All of these questions are answered in His Word. And like any relationship, it takes time to develop insight into what the Lord wants and expects from us. If we never read His Word, how are we even going to know the basics? A desire to want to increase and improve our relationship with Jesus will create the desire to read His Word more. Reading His Word, studying it, memorizing it, meditating on it, and even praying it brings us into abiding with Him. It allows His Spirit to speak to us through His written word, not audibly. Jesus said abiding in Him is much like a branch, and the branch is the Christian, connected to the main vine or plant, and that's Jesus. That branch can only grow and prosper as it remains connected to the vine. It is through the vine's roots that each branch gains sustenance and grows, eventually blooming and producing good fruit. That branch connected to the main vine can only produce good fruit. The branch that discontinues abiding in the vine will produce nothing good. They'll produce bad fruit, and they will eventually spiritually die. This spiritual death for the Christian happens when we discontinue abiding in Christ. What is the most relevant need today is for the Christian to remain abiding in constant fellowship with our Lord. Look at what's happening throughout the world today. The USA is being systematically destroyed with lies, aggression, fascism, and lawlessness, all based on Marxism. And by the way, I have a link to a number of messages I produced in the past on aspects of Marxism. The destruction is coming from Congress as well, and many aspects of our government, as well as average people. Marxism is simply designed to overthrow societies. There's another message I preached way back in August 2013, and it was called Critical Race Theory's Racism, and it's more relevant today than it was then, but it was still relevant then. Marxism is used to create major division between races of a society, to ultimately overturn that society. Lawlessness is often the direct vehicle, and once the division becomes the large, big thing in society, a total breakdown of that society will be the result. Now, if we consider in 2015, which wasn't that long ago, 6 years, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that denying same-sex marriage was essentially unconstitutional. Same-sex marriage then became the law of the land. And historically, every society that legalized same-sex unions eventually collapsed. Gee, I wonder if that has anything to do with Romans chapter 1. The USA is on the verge of doing just that. Roughly 6 years ago, that landmark ruling after it. It's no longer just about homosexual unions. It's now about transgenderism, drag queens, and pedophilia. Issues that are diametrically opposed to God's created order. How can any society survive when it so blatantly rejects God's rule? It can't. But for the Christian, what is our demeanor and attitude supposed to be as things resolutely move towards God's coming judgment? And it is coming. We're not to fear the problems of this world, especially considering the fact that God has forewarned us that these problems will occur toward the end of the age, eventually giving birth to the final kingdom of Daniel 2. Satan is slated to rule this final kingdom through his spiritual son, Antichrist. And in spite of what's coming, though, God promises to be a place of refuge for those who abide in him. Abiding in Christ should be the directed goal of every Christian. This should be our top priority in daily living. Only as we learn to grow in our fear of offending the Lord will we become more securely anchored in abiding in Christ. The world and its hate, ugliness, and sin won't matter. They are not going to affect us spiritually. Our eyes will be on the prize. We will live to glorify God, and He will strengthen us to withstand the assaults of the enemy. We will be sure-footed as we go through this life, but only as we ensure that we are abiding in Him. Now more than ever, Christians need to abide in Christ. Well, thanks so much for joining me, and I pray that until we meet again, the Lord will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.